just for a moment, just turn to Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, and let's just see what the Lord has to say here. I think it'll be a blessing to you. I just really want to make two walking points. Okay, so Pastor Will, here's what Pastor Will defines as a walking point. A walking point is this. I'm going to just spend about, 10 or 12 minutes teaching a lesson this morning, and the walking points, I'm only going to make two, will be things that we can actually do this week to improve the quality of our lives and become more like Jesus. Amen? Amen. So just two points. Here's point number one regarding the wall. I said in my notes that I hope all of you receive that before God brought down Jericho's walls, he first prepared his people spiritually. He taught them that obeying by faith was what would be a life changer in their life. It would be a game changer in their lives, walking by faith. So, by the way, the walls didn't fall because they went around six times and then they went around on the seventh day seven times. Okay? There was nothing magic. Watch this. There was nothing magic in the walking. There was nothing magic in the water. What brought the walls down was faith. But listen, faith defined by obedience. You see, we toss the word around faith and Christianity. It's just a byword. We use it loosely. We use it recklessly. We use it carelessly. And we don't think about it. Just like the word love. Love is a verb. Love means that you demonstrate it by actions. Amen? James says, you show me your faith. How? By your works. In other words, there has to be something done to substantiate faith. It can't be in a vacuum. You can't just use the word faith and not stand behind and not define it. Okay? So y'all listen to me because I hear other people. Are y'all listening? Because just based on the fact that, y'all didn't know the title to my title suggest we need the listener. We did Sister Marie's, our sister's homecoming on Thursday. And so I told the audience, I said, I had prepared like three sermons, one that was 14 minutes long, one 11 minutes, and one 9 minutes. I said I chose the 9 minute version for the eulogy because I thought if I give a eulogy for 9 minutes, maybe y'all listen for three. And now I can see that there's validity to that because we spent 6 weeks on this lesson and only a few people remembered the title. But that's okay. As long as you remember the points that are life-changing, right? Forget the title. As long as you remember what it takes to become more like Jesus. Amen. That's why we're here. That's what we're trying to do. So I love this. I said point number one, the walking point number one, I only have two, is that number one, God prepares his people spiritually before he gives them victory publicly. And that just simply means that God works on us on the inside. Sometimes before we see results and before we see consequences or before we see change on the outside. Don't be discouraged. Listen, don't be discouraged if you don't seem to be growing or moving or advancing or progressing as much as you think you should, or as fast as you think you should, or as high as you think you should. Don't throw in the towel. Don't get discouraged. Don't shake your fist at God, and don't, for whatever you do, don't quit. Don't give up. They were told to walk around the walls six times, one time a day for 6 days. Think had they stopped at five. Think had they stopped it for and said, well, I've done the majority. I've done as well as I could. Think had they stopped short of the number that they needed to do, which was seven ultimately. At any point in time, they could have checked out. But they kept going. When God told Naaman to dip in the dirty, horrible, muddy, yucky Jordan River seven times to cure his leprosy, think had he stopped at six. Leprosy, which was an absolute death sentence to anybody during that time. There was no cure. There were no remedies. There were no even, progressive or exploratory methods for healing. If you had leprosy, they probably did your funeral day one because other than a miracle, there was no recovery. But he went down one time. He went down two. Ella Todd preached a great sermon on that some years ago. And he went down the seventh time. The Bible says not only was he cured of the leprosy, the Bible says that his skin was as a baby skin. God doesn't just do things marginally. You don't just eke by. You don't just squeak by. You don't just barely make it over. When God is working in our lives, we win exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God goes overboard. Our cup runs over. He gives us more than enough. Amen? And that's what God does in this particular case. Not only did the walls come down, the Bible says, but the walls came down in such a way that it facilitated the invasion of the city. And the walls came down in such a way that the haters and naysayers could not say it was an earthquake or it was caused by natural causes. The Bible says the walls fell down flat. They collapsed in such a way that the people could just walk right in and seize the city. That was miraculous. It was miraculous that it didn't come down on a heap or a blockage or you got all kind of jagged rocks here. God just, boom. He leveled the walls and made an on-ramp right into the city. Is that God or what? Is that God or what? The Bible says, I wrote in my notes for you guys to reference. We won't look at it now, but 2 Chronicles 20:22, that worship comes before warfare. When God gave the victory to King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, when he said all these nations are coming against us, if you can put up 2 Chronicles 20:22, Peyton, he gave them victory, but he gave them victory first, watch this, because they praised him. He said, you don't need weapons, you don't need armament, you don't need military strategy, you just praise me. How many of you know that there's power in praise? How many of you know that you can start praising God even before you can see the victory or the difference with your eyes? How many of you know that when you're praying, when you're praising, God is already working? I shared with you guys. I'm almost done. Give me a few more minutes. I shared with you guys this quote, and I've been using it a lot lately because it was a life changer for me, that John Piper gave about, the quote was, quote, God is always doing about 10,000 things in our lives, and we might be aware of three. And the purpose of that quote, and the reason I keep using it, especially as it relates to this little mini-series on Joshua and the walls of Jericho, is because I believe that God is always actively working in ways that we can't often see. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong to God and the things that he revealed to us belongs to his people. So there are things that God does that he's doing in the background, behind the scenes of our lives that we're not even cognizant of, but God is taking care of business. So you may say, okay, well, Pastor Will, can you actually prove that God is doing 10,000 things? I mean, that seems a little bit of hyperbole. You know, I mean, come on, you're exaggerating. Okay, maybe it's not 10,000 things. Would it matter? Would it matter if it were only 10 things? If we don't know about it, we're still benefiting from it. God is, so you know what? I went and looked at something. I went up to that, I thought it was interesting. I said, okay, what if someone doesn't think that God is doing 10,000 things or a bunch of things in their lives while they're praying and they don't see results? I wrote this down. I said, you know, at any given moment in your body, the following things are going on. This is just a short list. Watch this. You ready? Following things are going on. Our heart is beating. Our lungs is expanding and contracting. Blood is moving through our arteries, veins, and capillaries. Oxygen is being exchanged in our lungs. Our blood pressure is being automatically regulated without us knowing about it. our brain is sending nerve signals to our nerve endings. Our eyes are adjusting to light and focus and breathe and air and temperature. Our hormones are being released. Our kidneys are filtering blood. Our liver is processing chemicals. Our stomach and intestine is moving the food around. Our cells are taking in nutrients. Our cells are making energy. Our immune system is scanning for threats. Our temperature is being regulated. Do I need to keep going? I got 10 more. I can give you 10 more. And that's just a small sampling of what God is doing inside of us at any given time. That doesn't even count all the things he's doing outside of us at any time. Woo. Lord, we have so much. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so, no wonder Job said, and Job 23 said, behold, I go forward. King James Version says, I go forward and he is not there. And I go backward, but I cannot perceive him. Job says in Job 23, on the left hand, where does he work? I can't behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Here's what Job, let me just translate it real quick in plain English. Job is saying, I look around, things are going on, but I don't see God. Things are happening, but I still can't see how he's doing it. Results are taking place, but I don't know how the process is doing it. I see the end. I see what God is doing. I see the outcome, but I don't know how God is getting things from point A to point B, but he's doing it. You may not be able to analyze and dissect and examine everything that God is up to, but he's at work. He's doing things in your lives. Don't be discouraged because it's not happening at your time frame, that you don't see the results instantaneously. That doesn't mean that God's not working. God's not on our agenda. God's not on our time frame. God doesn't listen to us. We listen to him. God is the one who knows all things. He's the one that's omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. He is the one that has the power of the world in his hands. We don't want him following us. Our information is limited. Our knowledge is finite. His is infinite. Our information is local. His is galactical. That's why we need to listen to him. Amen. I'm going to close. I have a Monday morning moment. I'm going to close. Let me just give you point two, and then I'll close. Point two is just trust in him. I kind of said it already. Our trust in him should keep us obeying him, even when we see that nothing seems to be changing. And I could just, the reason I put that in there is because, as I said during the series, these guys are just walking around the wall every day for 6 days. They don't know nothing. God told Joshua to tell people, don't talk, no talking, no whispering, no gossiping, no analyzing, no information being transferred. And you know what? I don't know. I can't back this up scripturally, so don't beat me up. But you know why I think God said that? You know why I think God told Joshua to tell the people to be quiet and don't talk? I think because there's always people that will be saying stuff like this. I don't know why we walking around this dumb old wall. This makes no sense at all. This is stupid. This is ridiculous. We ought to leave Joshua right now because this guy is going to lead us into certain destruction. The walls are impenetrable. They've never been defeated. Jericho has never been taken down. What are we doing? We're wasting our time. Let's get out of here. So God said, you tell those people to be quiet because we don't need no naysayers. We don't need no haters. We don't need people that are trying to undermine God's purpose and God's work. There's always people that are trying to be negative and pull you down, discourage you, talk you out of your blessing, talk you out of what God has promised for you, always trying to make you feel less than you should, always trying to discourage you and discredit you. They're always trying to do that to us. Don't listen to the noise. Don't listen to the negativity. If you got people around you that are always talking negative, get some new friends. Yes. Amen. If you're in a chat group and people are passing out negative information, get out of the group. Shut down X. Shut down Twitter. Shut down Instagram. Quit texting. Quit calling. Go silent if you need to. Don't let it influence you. Amen. God is too good to have it in him, his work undermined by haters and negativity. Amen. God is just too good. I had down here as a Monday morning moment in closing. Before God changes our situation outside, he often works on our behavior inside. I'll say it again. Often before God changes our situation outside, he's working on us inside. He told Israel, he said, you know what, before the walls come down, I want you to recircumcise. The men need to be circumcised. The people need to be quiet. They need to worship. They need to celebrate. There needs to be a call to worship, a call to consecration. They need to recommit themselves. They need to rededicate themselves. God is always, God's ultimate goal. God's ultimate goal is not, our ultimate goal is to get as much comfort and peace and live our best life now. God's ultimate goal is that we live his best life now. God's ultimate goal is, what are we doing for him? What's in it for him? What is he getting out of it? How is he being glorified? How is he being exalted? How is God getting obedience in our hearts and minds? That's what God is interested in. We're interested in, I need this bill paid. And we do need this bill paid. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. We do need a good doctor's report. We do need a raise. We do need a job. We do need the car to get fixed. We do need our kids to start acting right. We do need our spouse to straighten up. We need all these things. But what does God need? Lord, I believe if I give you what you need, I know you will give me what I need. Before God changes our outer situation, sometimes he works on our behavior inside. And he told Israel, before the walls can come down, you need to be circumcised of heart. You need to rededicate your commitment. You need to check yourself and see where you are with me. Have you forgiven people that have offended you? Have you let go of this bitterness, anger, distrust, hurt, church hurt, unfaithfulness? Have you let go of anger? Have you let go of resentment? Have you let go of jealousy? Have you let go of the things that pull you down? Things that don't even show up on a typical church's radar as even being a sin. Who talks about jealousy? Who talks about envy? Who talks about unforgiveness? Very few. It's the oblate, you know, all the main sins. We hear about them all the time. But who's talking about what's going on in the heart? That's where we're saved, and that's where we're lost. It's what God is doing in the heart. That's what matters to him. Are our hearts pure and sanctified before him? Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask this morning that someone will accept you in the pardon of their sins, that something will have been said this morning that will be a life changer. Something was said this morning that will lift up our hearts, that will cause us to be edified, that will cause us to rededicate our commitment to you, that will cause us to ask you to come into our lives, fortify us, strengthen us. If we are saved, Lord, help us to get on fire for you, more committed, more dedicated. If we aren't saved, Lord, help us to come to salvation this morning by trusting you and accepting you in our heart and believing, Lord, that you are God and that you did die for our sins and rose on the third day. Lord, help us to just come to that realization and just take simple steps to becoming more like you as we're being transformed in our heart, transformed in our mind, changed, conformed into your image, Lord. Help us to walk through that process, Lord, knowing that you're in charge, that this is about metamorphosis. This is about transformation. This is about becoming like you. thinking like you, talking like you, walking like you. That's what we want to do. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen.